Welcome back to the show. You know how much I love speaking to Pastor Adam Weber from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Adam is both a Renaissance man and a reclusive poet. And by reclusive, I mean he has never written a poem in his life, as far as I know. But he's with me on the studio line. Hello, Adam.
Hello, I'm excited to be on, and you are correct. I have never written a poem in my life.
I haven't either, so we're in good company. Now, I don't want you to think that I stalk you, because I certainly don't, but I did see something I saw online that I want to talk to you about today, if you're interested.
Yes, shoot away. I stalk you, by the way, but keep going.
Okay, good. I want to talk about the power of taking the next step.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Let's hear it. What's your question?
Well, I've got lots of questions, and I just want to say that when people have ideas, a lot of the times they've got no way of going about getting anything done, or they have a dream, but they don't know how to do it. And they look at the big picture, and they go, I don't know if I can do this. And I want to talk today about a very simple step of faith, which is simply taking the next step.
Absolutely. This is probably one of my favorite things to talk about, just because I've seen how God has used it just in my own life. Like you said, I think whether it's something big or even something small, we feel this nudge from God, which if we're following the Lord and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully we're feeling those on a regular basis. We feel these nudges or these callings or even these God-given dreams inside of us to do something. And yet we have no idea where to start, and so oftentimes we don't start at all. When I think what God is looking for us to do is just simply be willing to say yes to him and take the step that we can see. We can't see the whole plan in front of us, but what is the one step, what is the one action that we can take? And I'm such a simple, there's non-flashy, untalented person.
Who can't write poetry.
Always had that. Yeah, we can't wait for me, but I've always been willing to say yes to God, to something big or something small, or even to something that seems foolish. And so that next step might look different for all of us, but when we take that next step and the next step, it's amazing what God can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to start talking about some real steps that you took or stories that you have that illustrate the beauty of the next step.
Yeah, well, I feel like I can share so many different parts of my life. So being a pastor, never had a desire to be a pastor. I came to Christ as a sophomore in high school. I went to a conference that was at Wheaton College, gave my life to Christ, came back. The pastor said, Adam, would you be willing to come up front and share just a little bit about what God did in your life at the conference you were at? I was terrified. I didn't like speech class in high school, brand new Christian, felt totally inadequate to say or do anything, almost felt physically ill when he asked me, but I said yes. And so I came up front, I shared. Afterwards, he came and he pulled me aside and he spoke some of the most powerful words in my life. Adam, I think you have a gift. I think God's put something special inside you. And I asked what he meant. And I honestly don't think he really gave me the answer. I think he just kind of told me you have a gift. So when another opportunity came my way in college, I just got into college, just gotten more serious about my faith. Up to that point, I was still living two different lives and really got more serious about my faith. And the person who was leading the campus ministry I was a part of came to me and said, I think I'm going to step away from leading this, and I'm kind of going through just a time in my faith that I'm really questioning God as a whole. So, Adam, you can keep going if you want to, but if not, that's okay too. So I in that night, I'm like, I'm a brand new Christian. How can I lead this ministry? And yet I was just willing to say yes. And I look at those different opportunities, big and small, and just where they brought me. It's just crazy. I mean, even writing a book, I never wanted to write a book, but a friend just asked if I'd be willing to have a cup of coffee with him and just began to put myself out there. And it's crazy what God can do when we're simply willing to say yes. whether it's a phone call, gosh, should I pursue this job? I've always wanted to do this. Well, just make a phone call. Call somebody. Reach out and see if you can grab coffee with them and find out more about it. Reach out to a professor at the school you're considering going to and just ask the question. I think so many times we are so frozen that we're not willing to take any steps at all, and we're waiting for God just to roll it out right in front of us so there's no faith involved, instead of just that one open door, just being willing to walk through it, or even if it's closed, just be willing to knock on the door and see if it opens.
Isn't it fascinating, because I look at in God's economy, and he takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things with them.
He does. And for me, because I'm often paralyzed by fear,
mm-hmm.
and I'm often paralyzed by what I can do. And so even now as a pastor, there's days where I feel totally inadequate even to get up and preach a sermon. When I start looking at me, gosh, like, how, God, can you use me? And yet, thankfully, we're a God who uses foolish things. We're a God who looks at us, and when we're weak, he makes us strong. And so we are qualified because of God, not because of who we are and our gifts and our talents. And when he uses someone like a normal person, what I love about it is only God can get the credit. It's like, God, if you do anything in and through my life, it is so clear to me, and anybody who knows yeah. me, anybody who knows me, it's so clear to them that the whole thing was all you. And so, yeah, you use this person, you used him or her, and yet, God, that all of that was all you, and only you, because of that, can get the credit and the glory and the honor and praise.
Yeah,
and we just get to be a tiny part of it, knowing the whole time it's all God.
You know, Adam, that distance between wherever you are at and the next step you can take is so short, but it's usually the most daunting. Do you have any idea why? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of success? Is it fear of looking foolish? You want to do
it's
what?
Maybe different. Yeah. Well, it's maybe different for each of us. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe we've had success and God is asking us to take a step out of our comfort zone. And it's like, gosh, but I've kind of made it. I don't want to screw this up. While others of us, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if I want to put myself out there.
Yeah.
Again. Sometimes our past successes is what keeps us from following God in the present and in the future. And so I think it looks different for each of us. From myself, it's definitely feeling totally inadequate and just feeling so like, why would God want to use me? Just a lot of insecurity, like, who am I? And of course that person, of course her, she can be used by God, but I can't. And so that's the thing that holds me back. But I think it's different for every single one of us. It mm-hmm. might be a person in our life that's telling us we can't do things. Maybe we grew up and had a parent or a sibling who told us that we wouldn't amount to nothing. And so we listen to their voice, even friends that we're not in contact with, we listen to their voice instead of the voice of God. And so it might be different for every single person.
Yeah, and some of those things we heard when we were young, they're practically on, you know, in calligraphy on parchment paper hanging up in our every room in our house. So we're never too far from it. Feeling inadequate, or you can't measure up, or you can't do this or that. And it's a lie.
Oh, it's a complete lie. I was speaking with someone a couple of weeks back, and their dad at a young age, because I was telling them about how excited I was about my son. He's really developed a love for music
mm-hmm.
and just has a heart for worship and all this kind of thing. And just, it's just been awesome to see him grow. And I'm trying to do anything I can to help fan that flame and that passion just for his love for God. And so I was telling a friend about this, and he said, he's like, thank you for doing that for him. He said, I can remember as a junior in high school, I'm telling my dad about my love for music and all this kind of thing. And he said, you'll never amount to anything.
Ouch.
The rest of his siblings were into sports. And so the dad kind of encouraged sports. And he just told his son, you'll never amount to anything with music. And so it didn't help him out with anything, even though he could have. So he had to buy his own guitar. because his parents didn't want to help anything with that. And I just like, wow, what a shaping thing. And what an impact. And something that you need to constantly, like, God, I want to listen to your voice and your calling. That person's now a worship leader, by the way.
Yeah.
And I, like, it's like, God, we want to listen to your voice instead of the voices around me.
Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So if we only will look out over the horizon and say, I don't see success happening, or I don't see things working out the way I want or I envision, then you're going to be reluctant to take that first step.
You are. And a verse that always challenges me is in Hebrews. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. And so in our day-to-day lives, whenever we're living just in the comfort zone of what we can do, it's not pleasing to God because we're self-sufficient and we're in control. Like in many ways, we actually are in control in those moments when we're living in our comfort zone. And yet I know for myself, I want to do everything to the glory and pleasing of God. And so it's like, Lord, I want to trust you. Here's the edge of what I can do. And I know this first step is out of my comfort zone and it's into you. It's stepping out of the boat. We think in the story of walking on water, we think the boat is where it's safe. And it's like, no, it's actually being the safest place is to be close to God. It's like, I want to be wherever he's at. Even if it's scary, even if it's uncertain, like, I don't want to stay in the boat. I want to stay near you, God. So would you just help me just to take this one step? And then tomorrow to take the next step, because I want to so badly please you. I want to walk by faith, not by what I can see, not by what I can control, not by what I can do in my own strength.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, if you start emptying yourself of your own self and your own agenda, and you say to God, I want to empty myself and fill myself with you, is there a chance that in that process you are going to feel a little bit insecure? Because I know you talk so regularly about, you know, feeling vulnerable and you're just open to God's calling in your life every day, which I just love about you. And then all of a sudden you talk about insecurities, and I go, well, where does that come from?
Yeah, I think when you're actually faithfully following God, you might be scared, but you'll have a peace you can't explain.
I love it.
Yeah. You might have worry about different things, but you'll have a joy that you can't describe. And I look at my life and the steps that I've taken. My life so far is not anything like I've planned. It's not anything like I've hoped, anything that if you would have asked me back in college, anything that I wanted.
Hmm.
And yet God's plan is so much better than our plan will ever be. It's like, your plan, God, I was a fool to ever think that that's what I should do or this is what I should do. And so I only want your plan. And so, again, when we step out of the boat, it might be scary. It might be uncertain. You might feel foolish. And yet when we are following Jesus, there's a joy and a peace and a kindness and goodness that you won't find anyplace else. And so for me, it's like, God, I just want to be as close to you as I can. And I just want to be as close to you as I can because your plan is so much better. And our God, he loves to provide for us. He loves to care for us. And so it might be a hard road that we have to walk, and yet it's so good. And I can honestly say in every area of my life, his plan is just so much better. And it's unlike any plan that I would have written for myself.
I love that perspective. Yeah, Adam Weber is my guest. Pastor of Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. We'll take a little break and we'll come back with lots more of Adam in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Pastor Adam Weber from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. We are talking today about taking the next step, because there's probably 50 or 100 things on your plate that maybe you just need to take the next step with. And it's just a step of faith. And Adam, I love Romans 8:28. I know that verse gets used all the time about all things work together for good. And And of course, I always want to finish the verse, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're following Christ, you should be more bold in taking a step towards something God is calling you to do, or even encouraging or nudging you to do.
Yes. Discerning God's step for you, I think once you've gone through the discernment process of bringing it to God in prayer, maybe even asking a few friends who love Jesus and they love you and they care for you and they want to see you step out of your comfort zone, I think after you've done that, when you know what that next step is, again, whether it's something as simple as making a phone call about a job opening or reaching out to someone that you feel like, gosh, for some reason I'm supposed to speak to this person, mm-hmm. or just ask him a few questions. When we truly believe and have to kind of discern that step we're supposed to take, we can take it with confidence and boldness,
mm-hmm.
and trusting God. I'm not taking this step for any reason other than the fact that I feel like you told me to take it. And so I'm going to trust you that you'll provide, that you'll care for me. Even if the step fails or it leads to a closed door, I'm going to step boldly, trusting that you asked me to take this step.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, when you truly is something that you feel like God has led you to do, there's total peace. For me, even the idea of starting a church, there was not a part of me that wanted to start a church. I actually thought it was a bad idea. And so in the different harder seasons that you walk through in any ministry, there's been such a total peace and confidence of God. This was all your plan in the first place. It wasn't mine. And so I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to protect me. And because of that, I can boldly continue to walk forward.
Yeah, Adam, there's nothing inconsequential in God's economy, is there? You know, every little conversation you might have with somebody, every chance encounter you might have, might be God's plan for your life, and never to underestimate the power of what might be happening in this day.
Oh, exactly. I'm to the point now when I meet somebody, I always say, I have no doubt that we'll cross paths again,
uh-huh.
in life. Where you're just like, it's only a matter of time, but somehow the two of us are going to cross paths.
Yeah.
And I look at something as simple as one of my jobs in college. So I somehow, some way ended up delivering flowers for a flower shop. And I just heard about the job opening. It was close to my college that I was attending. So I was like, okay, I'll be a delivery boy. I like to drive around, listen to music. That's great. Well, at the time, I had a total fear of hospitals and funeral homes.
I mean, and those are the two places you go to the most.
Yeah. Exactly. If you want to be a pastor, you better feel comfortable around hospitals and funeral homes.
Yeah.
And so I was terrified, though. But through that job, the two places you go more than any other places as a flower delivery boy are funeral homes and hospitals. And it forced me out of my comfort zone to get very comfortable in those settings. And I found myself, even though I had no desire at that time to ever be a pastor, I'd come in and I'd drop off flowers. And oftentimes when you're dropping off flowers to a hospital, it's because a loved one can't bring them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of in place of their son, if it's a mom or somebody. And so what I started doing was I'd drop the flowers in the room. And then I would tell the person, man, aren't those flowers beautiful? And would you want me to read the card for you? Because you can't get up right now. Should I read the card? And I found myself becoming a pastor in those moments.
Wow.
And I got to the place where if it felt appropriate, I would pray for them as well. Would you mind if I prayed really quick for you if I sensed that they were heavy? And so you look back, though. And it's like, this was the best seminary training ever,
yeah.
for being a pastor. And I thought it was just a random job that I just so happened to take.
Yeah. So Flower Boy is praying with people.
Yeah, exactly. I did not mention it to my boss. I was praying with people.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to keep that between you and God, you and
right.
me, God.
Right. But like I said earlier, there's nothing inconsequential in God's economy. He sees down the road, and you're just taking a step towards employment, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing almost seminary training delivering flowers.
Yeah, it's crazy. I even think about different hardships that we walk through. So elementary school was just a hard time in my life. Just was not popular, was picked on. And it shaped me in a many, many ways. So just something that I'm like, gosh, I hope my kids never have to experience that. And yet from that place of pain that I've had, I just have a passion for the outsider to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
For the person who doesn't belong, even if it's in a conversation, there's a room full of people and I see one person that just is kind of left out for whatever reasons. I've just always had a desire just to connect with them and let them know that they're cared for and that they're seen by somebody. And so through that season, like you look back, gosh, I hope my kids never experience that. I feel like I developed like a part of the heart of God in that, of just Jesus constantly looking at the outsider. Who's the outsider in the room, or the person who feels like they don't belong in church or with a group of friends or at work? It became a passion of mine. And so those different things that we've been through, even just hard things that we've been through, God is able to use those in wonderful, wonderful ways. And that might end up being the next step that we're supposed to take. There might be something connected to that of, gosh, I've always had a heart for single moms because I've been a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a heart for people who have struggled with you know, schoolwork, because I struggled with schoolwork. So whatever it might be, it's amazing how God weaves that in and out of our life.
Adam, I'm just starting to figure out how and why your church is popular. I mean, you know, your empathy for this person you just described, this person will sometimes go to these services or wherever they go, and maybe the question inside their brain is anyone going to notice me?
Yeah.
That's what I love. One of the many things I love about you is your heart regarding that person.
Well, I appreciate the kindness. I think more than any other time, people are looking for a place. I just heard this somewhere else. People are looking for a place to belong before they have to believe.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the church is, gosh, even before you agree or disagree with Bible or whatever it might be, like, we're going to first just love on you like crazy in hopes that you come to know the one, Jesus, who has loved us so well.
Yeah,
I'm humbled by your words.
And sometimes it's easier to, you know, shake a pointy finger at somebody than it is to just come alongside them and love them where they're at. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to do.
He does. He just calls us to meet a person right where they are. And I was just even telling my oldest son the other day, we can't expect someone who doesn't follow Jesus to act like someone who does.
Yeah.
And so it's our job in the meantime just to keep loving them and loving them and loving them, in hopes that they'll meet Jesus, and Jesus, then he'll change everything about their life.
Yeah. So how many around the Thanksgiving table this year for you?
We will be up with my parents up in Northeast South Dakota. So it'll be mom and dad and siblings. And I can't wait for it. Actually, it's been just a couple of weeks since we've gotten together, actually a few months since all of my immediate family's been together. And I can't wait to have everybody together.
Yeah, would you send your dad a message? Tell him that I want to speak to him. I want to interview him on the show.
I will. I definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He'd be honored to be on, and he'd be incredible to have on the show.
Yeah. And then your church family, as you head towards Thanksgiving and the holiday season, are you planning lots of outreach and getting ready for the celebration of the birth of our Savior?
We are. This Thursday night, we are actually doing, we call it a team rally night, where we're having a time of worship and a time of praying over the Christmas season, just that people would come to know Jesus. It's honestly a highlight of my years, the rally night. And then over Christmas, we're looking at different Christmas hymns and the deeper understanding of what the words mean and how they connect with us right now today.
Keeping the main thing the main thing. It's another thing I love about you, Adam.
If we don't point people to Jesus, we completely miss the boat. And so it's like, yeah, you don't want to be impressed with us as a church. You don't want to be impressed with this or that. We just want you to meet Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Nah, amen. Adam Weber, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always great to talk to you. And if you are looking for a great Christmas gift idea, Adam's book is called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. It's a great book. Adam, have a great day, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you. As always, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. That's all the time we have. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow.